Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be talking with Taya Kyle, the widow of Chris Kyle, who you likely know from his memoir and the movie about him, both named American Sniper. Taya will share memories of her husband and their marriage, as well as discuss the role her Christian faith has played and continues to play in helping her deal with Chris's murder. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. Most people are familiar with Navy SEAL Chris Kyle because of American Sniper, the book he wrote about his experiences during the Iraq War, and it was also made into a hugely successful movie directed by Clint Eastwood and starring Bradley Cooper as Chris. Unfortunately, Chris didn't live to see that movie finished because he was murdered by a veteran he was trying to help. Chris left behind his wife Taya and their two kids, and Taya has now written her own memoir called American Wife. It's about her years of marriage to Chris, the joys and challenges they experienced as a couple, the role her faith plays in helping her deal with his murder, and the way she's keeping his legacy alive by helping other military families. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Taya Kyle. Taya, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let me start asking about the process of writing American Wife, because in the book you say that when your husband Chris wrote American Sniper, it was not a healing experience for you. When you were writing this book, reliving the joyful times, the devastating times, was that stressful? Was it therapeutic? Was it healing? How was that for you?
It was extremely intense. Jim DeFelice has been a friend. Obviously, he's the one who co-wrote American Sniper with us, and I would talk to him, and I think we tried to keep it no more than 2 or 3 hours in a day, because inevitably, I was going through so much and trying to recount a lot of that, and of course, we had to pick and choose which parts to put in the book, because there was far too much, honestly, to put it all. And I found myself, crying and laughing probably every day doing it, and there would be times where Jim would say, you know what, I'm going to call it. I think you need to rest, or I think you need a break. Mm-hmm. And so we did that. And I don't know if in the end that means maybe it was therapeutic because it forced me to go over some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But it was painful at the same time, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the things that I liked about the book is that God is a major part of it from the get-go. And when you look back at your early days, before you met Chris even, you write in the book that you, quote, feel as if God had to break me in a way. Why do you think God needed to break you in retrospect?
I think that I can be goal-driven, I can be maybe hard-headed, and I also have this fierce independence that I like to have, and mm-hmm. I think that really, while I have faith, I still feel like we all have a responsibility to do our part and to try and make a difference in our lives and all of that, and I think that in order to get me to a point where I had to have faith that it's not... There are so many things in life that we can't do ourselves, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many things in life that they just need time. You can't push through them. And I feel like God had to break me to show me that, break me by giving me too much for one person to possibly handle and to see that it all worked out okay, even without me not trying to push things through or work them out. And so I'm cautious of that now. I really try to be careful with my faith and give my faith before Him broken, because it's a gift to be broken and learn from it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to try to give it sooner.
Right, right. I'm talking to Taya Kyle. She's the author of the book American Wife, Love, War, Faith, and Renewal. You also write that you prayed to God to send you the right man, and that was before you met Chris. But I'm wondering, where did you kind of get those qualities from that helped you define who the right man would be? Who were the models of manhood and marriage in your life?
Well, certainly I was surrounded by a lot of good men. My dad is a phenomenal person, and my mom and dad had a marriage that they put a lot of effort into, and they are surrounded by friends who've been married 40-some years, too, and we've seen all of those couples go through ups and downs but fight their way through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all that, but I'll tell you that, my experience was in the business world, I met a lot of different people,
mm-hmm.
and I dated different people, and I came away with my prayer was probably not the right prayer in a way, because I didn't pray for the right one. I prayed for a nice one. I boiled it all down. I remember saying, God, I don't care what they do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what they look like. I don't care how old they are. God, just please send me someone nice. And when I meant nice, I meant to the core, genuinely boil it all down. You know, it's not just like, oh, nice to people, this and that, mm-hmm. but like a good, solid, warm-hearted, you know, I kind of boiled it all down to that one word. And, you know, the night I met Chris, he truly was so different than anybody else in that he had this nice, like this kind soul mm-hmm. that was just idealistic. You know, he looked at me and, you know, I would die for my country. You know, how could that be selfish?
Yeah.
How could that be arrogant? He was unashamed. And when I say nice, it also meant things like, you know, chivalrous in a way, but not in a, not in a practiced way. So like when he wanted to buy me a drink, he said, you know, can I buy you a drink? And I said, okay. And he said, okay, hang on. I know it sounds weird, but my buddy has my wallet. I'm going to run over there and get my money. And I'm going to come back and buy you this drink. And I thought, this is a guy who's not trying to play it up and be cool and be slick. He knows that the right thing to do is to be manly and chivalrous, but mm-hmm. he's also ashamed to say, like, I don't have it on me right now. I wasn't intending to do this, you know, to go buy someone a drink. So I guess it's a long-winded way of just saying that he took me off guard in his authenticity and humility and really the way he looked at me.
Right. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Taya Kyle. She's the author of the book, American Wife, Love, War, Faith, and Renewal. How did you adjust to being a military wife once you got married, and especially when Chris was deployed overseas?
You know, I was really fortunate and I think blessed when I look back. We lived in this great little neighborhood and, you know, I was so used to just going to work and coming home and going in the house, and Chris was the opposite. He would go out and meet all the neighbors when he would come home. And thank God for that, because he introduced me to our neighbors. And I think when I look back, we drive through that neighborhood today, not one of our friends lives in that neighborhood anymore. And I feel like we were just sort of a motley crew of people that pulled together and had barbecues and loved each other through all the hard things, raising our kids. There was a Navy, we were 45 minutes away from the base, and there was a Navy helicopter pilot who lived right next door to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then up the street was a guy who used to be a Navy helicopter guy, and they all had kids, and those are two of my best girlfriends were married to those guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found the support in other ways, which again comes back to my faith of, it's, you know, I could have obsessed about it, and I could have found a way to live on base to get the support I needed or all of these other things, but we went where we felt comfortable, and lo and behold, you know, the right people were there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, talking about along this, you know, after Chris was killed, I'm curious, you know, this Christian concept of community, how important did that play a role in your grieving process, in your healing process, the community around you? What did they do for you?
It was uncanny, honestly. It was something so shocking and so beautiful, and I feel like that's another thing that I've learned, that when God promises beauty through the ashes, he means it, but it takes other people to open up their hearts and their, you know, their humble ways to bring beauty to other people. Like, we're here to do that for other people,
mm-hmm.
and God can work through us to do that. Marcus Luttrell's wife, Melanie, came in, and, you know, she and Sherry, who runs the boot campaign, which is a phenomenal organization for veterans,
mm-hmm.
they came in and they worked nonstop on getting Cowboy Stadium ready and getting firefighters on overpasses for the procession. And then just my friends, like I actually am sitting next to one of them who I talk about sometimes when I give my talks, but, you know, she and her husband got a babysitter for their three kids so that they could be at my house washing dishes for people and staying till 11:30 at night.
Wow.
You know, she and another girlfriend just did my kids' laundry, stuff that I wouldn't even have thought about in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, those are the things that are seared into my mind of it's the people who I remember. Like, all the other big things are wonderful. That's from the community. But our smaller group of friends, the things that stick with me are those things. Somebody just walking in and doing some dishes, you know, somebody getting a babysitter to just be there for our family, somebody bringing their kid to play with my kids. I mean, those are the things we can all do for each other that mean so much.
Sure. Well, you mentioned before your independent streak. Are you the type of person who would have had trouble asking for help if it wasn't just automatically there? Or are you pretty good at asking others for help?
No, there's no way I would have asked for help. And there's no way I expected. You know, I just didn't. And I think that that's so true for a lot of first responder families and military families, that if you ask them, is there anything I can do for you? Or I'm here if you ever need anything. They almost always will not ask for that help. And mm-hmm. that's something I've learned, is that, you know, if you see them and you want to help them, just come over with your lawnmower and say, hey, I'm just going to mow your lawn real quick.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't want you to shoot me. I'm in your yard, you know, whatever. But, you know, or I just decided to make you this, like, dinner that you can freeze for a night when you don't feel like cooking because your husband's a police officer and I know he's gone a lot and sometimes it's unpredictable. Whatever, you know, it's because we all get used to it. If we depended on other people, you know, we'd be sorely disappointed so many nights, right?
Sure.
We just learn to just depend on ourselves and you get in the mode of serving others more than yourself, too, so you don't ask for help.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to the widow of American sniper Chris Kyle. Her name is Taya Kyle, and she's written a book called American Wife, Love, War, Faith, and Renewal. Going back to the God question, after Chris was killed, did you have any angry conversations with God? Were you angry at God, or did it shake your faith at all, or was your faith more something you could lean on during that time?
No, it's interesting because I know there's that aspect where of grief where you're supposed to go through a stage of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had anger at the murderer, but I've never been angry with God. And I think that God prepared me for Chris's death in some ways because I've seen other people lose their spouses. I've seen other people lose their fathers. You know, I lost a cousin when she was 3 years old and I was probably eight. You know, I've known for a long time that life isn't fair and life and death is not something we can predict. And, you know, there's no reason. Chris and I used to talk about it, too. It's not that you have to be in war to die, right? People die all the time, and we're just lucky for every day.
Yeah.
So I wasn't angry with God that I lost my husband. I was devastated. I was broken. I still am in many ways. But I feel like what God says is that he gives free will to everyone. And people who want to choose evil, they have that same free will. So the guy who murdered Chris and Chad, who did not have PTSD, by the way, did not.
Okay.
And both psychiatrists on the prosecution and the defense testified to that fact, that he never had any trauma. So it's impossible. He made bad choices. You know, he chose drugs and he chose, you know, to be around people who enable him, and in my opinion anyway. And he learned that he could get away with things by claiming PTSD. And so, it escalated. But I feel like what God says is that free will is there. Things will happen, but I'll be by your side and I will bring beauty through it. And I have heard a number of stories of people's lives who have been very blessed by the horror of this double homicide, you know? And that doesn't mean that God wanted it, but what it means is if it happens, he'll change lives through it anyway. He'll take the bad and he'll change it to good for somebody or something. So.
Right. Well, I mean, again, with your faith in the book, you write that since Chris was present for the births of both your children, you call that a miracle. What did those events and others like it? Because when you look back in your life, I'm guessing you see God as the author of certain things. What did that teach you about God having a plan, even when we can't see it?
Well, that's a great question. I think that what I've learned is there are so many factors of so many different people's actions in this world that can affect our life, one step removed, three step removed, and so on, that we couldn't predict anything. So we need to be grateful for the moments that we have. We need to focus less on the negative things and look more at the positive things. I mean, Chris being there for the birth of my children was amazing. And that doesn't happen for a lot of guys. And, you know, they were born in just the nick of time before he left. And my daughter was a month early.
Yeah.
I look back at a lot of other things that I see as true extraordinary gifts, and even our troubles, I can look back at my marriage with Chris and say, in that time that we had together, we lived maybe more experiences than some people who were married for 50 years.
Sure.
So the blessing in that is that, yeah, it was hard sometimes, and it was beautiful sometimes, and it was crazy, but I also can walk away without wondering, what would he have acted like in this situation? Or would we have gotten through this situation? We lived so many different things that I feel like I can walk away saying I truly loved that man with everything I had, and I knew him at his worst and his best.
Wow, that's great. And how for your kids, how are you helping them remember Chris, and how did it affect their faith? Do they still talk to their dad as if he was, you know, still around in a way?
We do feel like he's around a lot. I think that maybe, you know, part of the beauty through the ashes is that we lost some of our friends, and so the kids and I prayed for our friends and their families, and I was able to tell the kids that, you know, our belief is that those warriors live on and that their families will see them again, but we need to pray for their families while they're still here. So that wasn't a foreign concept to the kids.
Yeah. Okay.
And So we talk about Chris, whether it's, you know, we're making bacon or something at the house, and we're like, you know, if Daddy were here, he would eat all that bacon fat, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, oh, my favorite color is the same as Daddy's favorite color, you know, stuff like mm-hmm. that. And then, you know, I've told the kids that anytime they have a question of what would their dad have thought, if I really don't know, I'll tell them I don't know. But if there's something I feel pretty confident about, I'll always tell them, like, I feel like you would have been proud of that, or I feel like you would have been a little disappointed with that, or, mm-hmm. you know, something along those lines. But the bottom line is that we are also surrounded by such phenomenal families. Like, our friends in this community and in the states that we travel to and all that, they have phenomenal marriages. They are good-hearted Christian people. And so I feel like my kids also are blessed to see what a healthy marriage is.
Yeah.
And to see what a dad is that plays with them like their dad did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the type of experience that I wanted them to have. I wanted them to have it with their mom and dad, and I wanted them to have it with their dad.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't change the fact that I think they are cared for and loved, and they understand how to be that kind of man, because we're surrounded by families with those kind of men in them.
Right. There's great, great role models all around you. I'm talking to Taya Kyle. She's the widow of American sniper Chris Kyle. Her book is American Wife, Love, War, Faith, and Renewal. You're talking about this theme of giving back throughout this interview. And I know one of the ways you're doing it is through the Chris Kyle Frog Foundation. So tell me a little bit about what you're doing with them.
Well, frogs are supposed to symbolize, you know, frogmen, Navy SEALs, because mm-hmm. they like frogs or land and sea. And it was something that Chris, you know, he had a couple of tattoos, and one of them was a big frog skeleton to honor fallen Navy SEALs. So we're using that as one of the symbols. That's why the word frog is in the foundation. But it's really for all veteran and first responder families that we're working toward. And our mission is to honor God and country by serving families who serve. And our specific way in our first stage of this foundation is to help those marriages stay strong. Mm-hmm. Because we believe that if marriage stays strong, then the family unit stays strong, and the children are blessed through that. So our mission is getting them the time and help they need so that they don't end up being one of the statistics of divorce where it's, you know, it was 90% in the SEAL teams.
Wow.
I think recently it was 95% divorce rate when Chris was in.
Mm-hmm.
And with our police forces, it's 75% and 80% and
wow.
higher for our SWAT team. So I just feel like these are good-hearted, loving people who love each other enough to take on that life. But then the evil that they face, the schedules that they face, you know, the things that pull them apart, it ends up wrecking a marriage that I think we can help try to save and let them know that they're not alone and that there's people out there that care about their marriage. And so it's been amazing so far, and I can't wait to do more with it.
Sure. Well, we talk a lot about helping veterans deal with PTSD, but you, I think, are just pointing out another area, and you write about it in the book, is that when servicemen come home from war after seeing a lot of violence, it can take them a long time to readjust to civilian life, which I'm guessing is part of the contribution to that high divorce rate. What did Chris go through when he got home, and how did the two of you adjust, and like, what did you learn over time?
You know, there are a lot of things that I know I talk about this more in American Wife, too, but I think part of the problem is that changes with a service member, whether it's first responder or veteran,
mm-hmm.
they're gradual. They happen over time because, you know, you don't just flip a switch. And so
yeah.
sometimes, like anything else, it's sort of like, you know, when you have kids and you look and go, oh, I can't believe they grew so much. You look at a picture from a year ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
you wouldn't have thought that if you're just sitting with them every day. You don't, it's hard to recognize those changes because they're gradual. And it's also hard for all of us to identify what are the symptoms of PTSD versus what are the damages that just the marriage being in a place where they're separated so long,
mm-hmm.
like which one is which, what's damaging the relationship most. And so what we're trying to do, and the other thing is a lot of times when the marriage breaks up, the person who has the PTS or PTSD, they'll circle the drain a lot faster and it gets worse.
Okay.
And so it's one of the ways I think to help that is to help the both people in the relationship understand these are symptoms, these are the things, they won't last forever. These are some things that we can do to help it. And then a big, huge thing, in my opinion, is to let them know they are not alone in this, because
mm-hmm.
a lot of times like I said, that independent thing or not wanting to admit. The guy doesn't necessarily want to admit that he's having it, or woman, as the case may be. And, you know, the spouse doesn't always want to admit it either, because we'd all like to think that we're doing better. And there's this fear of, what if I'm the only one? What if my marriage is the only one that's really having this happen to? So, you know, it's impossible for it not to affect the marriage, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like education, awareness, and again, that sense of community we talked about before can help avoid those problems, or at least help couples move through them, which is what you're trying to do.
Right, right. And giving them time together away from all the stress, you know, away from the young children and the job or whatever, just 2 or 3 days to be together, and then some follow-up things that we can do to help. But they don't, a lot of times those jobs don't also pay the most, right? So even if we said, hey, make sure you get a date night once a month, or take your wife over, it's just not going to happen, because the military and police and fire departments, their schedules are not usually concrete. So you hate to put a down payment on let's say a cabin for a weekend, if you could even afford a cabin in the first place, and then maybe lose it and be disappointed. And so there's all these details that I know intimately from living it that make it so hard to do. It's not just so simple as make sure you get a weekend away. We need to book it, pay for it, make it happen, talk to the command, make sure it's set in stone, and start there. You know, I'm not saying that's the solution. I'm saying it's a start, and then we follow up with other things to keep it going. But they have to have time together.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense, and for any marriage, but especially one that's put under so much stress by the separation and all the different experiences. So, yeah, no, I think you're perfectly right. I'm talking to Taya Kyle. She's the author of American Wife, Love, War, Faith, and Renewal. Now, you mentioned before, Chris was the one who went through the neighborhood getting to know everybody, but because of the circumstances, you've become a public figure, which has its positives and its negatives. You can do a lot of good, which you're doing, but you're also subject to the critics of people who think they know everything about you just because they read one thing about you on Twitter or whatever. How have you navigated those positives and negatives?
Well, I think that was another, perhaps, you know, divine setup. Maybe not. Maybe it's just good luck. But I remember first when Chris's book first came out, and I read some comments that, I mean, my heart started pounding, my hands started shaking. I was so upset that somebody would say something so horrible. And in time, I just realized that, A, he didn't really care, and B, I think we're becoming more educated as a society that there are going to be, you know, what we call trolls. There are going to be hateful people everywhere, and that's okay. They can hate me. I don't have to take it on. I don't have to believe it. I don't have to absorb it. And I have so many amazing people around me that takes more time than I have to try to help and be with people I love and care about. So, you know, it just doesn't really affect me anymore.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to the widow of Chris Kyle, the American sniper, Taya Kyle. Her book is called American Wife, Love, War, Faith, and Renewal. Early in the book, when you're recalling Chris's last day, you write about being at your kid's basketball game, and you write, "It was a day of great, if simple, joy." Now, in light of everything that's happened since then, how are you at recognizing and appreciating life's simple joys now?
I think I'm so much better at it, you know, let me actually back up, because Chris and I feel we're really good at that because of our life and our experiences in war. And I don't remember very many nights in the last, you know, 6 months to a year of his life where we didn't put the kids to bed, get in bed, and say to each other, like, we were so blessed. Mm-hmm. And it didn't mean that we did anything amazing. It certainly wasn't financial, because we didn't have that under control at all. you know, it wasn't that our house wasn't in disrepair. It was. You know, like, we had a million things going wrong, but the fact is we knew that just being together was such a gift, because it's something we hadn't always had. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just being able to tuck our kids in bed together and pray with them together and then cuddle up together, that was a gift. And it's something that our friends didn't all have anymore because they had lost their spouse. So I feel like those simple pleasures were something that we didn't overlook, and I'm so glad that I didn't overlook them at the time, and I certainly don't overlook them now.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me, because the Christophers who sponsored the show have a motto, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness, and it sounds like you've been doing that throughout your life. You're lighting that candle now in the face of your devastation of losing Chris. When you do hit those times of darkness now, just in an ordinary way, what do you do to kind of light that candle and move forward toward a brighter future?
there are a few things. You know, one is I'm trying really hard to not escape the feelings when they hit, because I think for a long time I was afraid of them and I'd escape them. Mm-hmm. So now sometimes I just cry. And you know what? I have to be okay with that and not run from it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I call a friend. Sometimes I go to bed. Like, there are times in the middle of the day where I'll say, you know what, Mom's going to go lay down for about 25 minutes. And I set an alarm, and I just try to quiet my mind and just sometimes I'll pray. Sometimes I'll just lay there and listen to, you know, a song. And sometimes I'll just pass out for 25 minutes, you know. And, you know, the alarm on the house is on and the doors are all locked and nobody's supposed to go outside. And, you know, Mom just, it takes 25 minutes. And I pray.
Yeah. Okay. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Taya Kyle. She's the widow of American sniper Chris Kyle, and her book is called American Wife, Love, War, Faith, and Renewal. I mean, Taya writes in the book that one of her focuses now is paying blessings forward and the ripple effects of kindness, and I think we really covered that today. She's trying to help veterans and first responders through the Chris Kyle Frog Foundation, and the website for that is chriskylefrog.com. And just in the way she's living her life, being a mom to her kids and being a role model of somebody who really is lighting a candle instead of cursing the darkness, even though she'd have every right to curse that darkness, she's moving forward and bringing everyone towards a brighter future. So Taya, thanks so much for sharing your story with us today and for writing the book.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Every once in a while, we come face to face with someone who has borne the weight of the world on their shoulders without losing hope or crumbling under the pressure. How are some people able to cope in circumstances that would debilitate the rest of us? The short answer is that their perseverance is grounded in faith. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Persevering Through Pain and Struggle. It shares stories and reflections that will help you endure challenging times by relying on the promise of God's love. To request your free copy of Persevering Through Pain and Struggle, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineers for today's show are John Pappas and Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.